2 Corinthians. We are in the latter part of this book, chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Powerful passage of Scripture. This paragraph is really life-changing. If we can grasp the truth that is here, it will impact us strongly for the glory of God and the good of our time here on earth as we live to please Him and be one that would make an impact in others' lives. Let's read that text and then we will pray. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast about my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Loving Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and I pray that our hearts will be in tune with you, with your word, with your spirit, that we might be in a place in our own souls where we can hear, we can listen, we can grow, we can be fed the word of God. I thank you for those who have made the effort to come today and to be a part of this service, to lift our voices, our hearts, to you in worship and adoration. Father, you are more than worthy to be praised. We thank you for your impact in our lives and how you've reached out to us. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, on a rescue mission for sinners, for which we are. And through faith in him, in his sacrifice, in his person, he is the object of our faith. Through faith in him, we've been redeemed. We've been set free. You have done that for us, Father. And we long to be those of your children who are growing in your word, who are being used of you in a way that you would be pleased with. So, Father, we thank you. We come to you asking today that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would help me, you'd guide me along, the listener as well. And, Father, we don't say thanks enough, and you are more than worthy of our worship. We come to you today as those who are broken, those who do not have it all together. That's where we're at, and you meet us there. Father, I pray for those that today are grieving. We still think of those in Sutherland, Texas. They got a tough week coming up. There's going to be gatherings in homes with the thought of Thanksgiving, and there'll be loved ones that are absent, have been taken from them. I pray a special measure of grace for those, our brothers and sisters in that area of the United States today and this coming week. And Father, we're reminded, even as we gather, that there's issues in our own lives, and I pray that you minister into those issues, that we would be those who would be willing to bend the knee to you today. Father, our pride rises up. We think more highly of ourselves often than we ought to. We're grateful, Father, that you and all that, all of our sin, all of that, you reach out to us and you long to interact with us and you tell us to come to the throne of grace in time of need. We're here. Father, for these moments in time, I pray a special blessing. We would ask in Christ's name, amen. God allows specific circumstances to come into our lives that are often uncomfortable. And even in that, though, we can experience contentment and fulfillment in the grace he provides. If I were to ask you, have you been made uncomfortable in the last year, in the last few months? Have you experienced anything painful? I think many of you would say absolutely. But for those in Christ, we often experience those things, but they're not for nothing. We might think, you know, I'd like to avoid the painful things in life, and if I ask for a raise, that you might raise your hand if that's where you were at. I think we all would acknowledge that. We don't look forward to those things necessarily, but they're ours. Just because we're in Christ doesn't mean we're exempt from that. Matter of fact, God will bring them to our lives with a purpose. But we can be content in Him with what He brings when we get, I think, our minds in the right place. See, contentment in painful circumstances is giving ourselves over to His plan. It's giving ourselves over to what He's brought and trusting and believing and experiencing His empowering, enabling, sufficient grace. Pastor Wes quoted from, or at least read from, James 1:2 just a few minutes ago. And that it just starts out there with, count it all joy, brothers, when you endure various trials. And he goes on to talk about how God works that. And here's the end, what he's looking at here. There's a reason they come. Let endurance have its perfect result. And here's the so that. We're big on that, right? So that. Okay, so why is that? That you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God's saying, you know, you can count it all joy because I'm up to something. And I want that you would grow, that you would be made complete, that you would be a servant of servants, and that you would just arise and make a dynamic impact for the Lord. See, there's nothing that comes our way that God has not allowed into our lives. Nothing. There are no accidents for the Christian. Do you realize that? There's no accidents. They're simply divine appointments made by God with the purpose to make us more like Jesus. Paul's speaking of this. He says in verse 7, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. He speaks of this thorn in the flesh. And God had given him these surpassing revelations. We talked about that last week. Paul was taken to paradise. He was taken right into heaven where he saw and heard things that he was not allowed to speak or reveal to others. And he speaks of the magnitude of this as surpassing revelations. It was extreme. It was immeasurable. The Lord granted this to Paul. You know, no other New Testament apostle was allowed to have that, to see heaven, to be taken there and to come back from that. And the possibility of this, and I mentioned this last week, to negatively impact Paul was immense. It was real. It was something that God was looking at. And in His grace, in His love, He would not allow that to happen to Paul. So he took action here. But Paul says, to keep from exalting myself, that pride that could well up. Exalt means to lift above, to be elevated, to be conceited, to be arrogant. I love the apostle's heart here. Do you see it? He says, this is a possibility. I could exalt myself. And Paul could have gone on with boasting about himself and all his experiences. But I want you to know here that God deeply cares about His children and their spiritual lives. He deeply cares about you. He cares about your growth. He cares about your maturity, your development. And so it is that He doesn't want us to be stagnant. God wants us to mature and to keep maturing. And I'll tell you, that's one of the things I love about the Christian life, is that we never arrive. When we arrive, it'll be heaven. That's when we'll arrive. But until then, well, God's, think of this, the God of all heaven universe is interested in me. He's interested in you. And He's looking at your life and He's saying, okay, I'm going to allow this so they will look to me. So they'll not become proud. So I can work in them what needs to be worked in them and bring them to maturity. So I want you to know, this was purposeful. It was purposeful. This thorn in the flesh isn't just God in heaven say, you know, I'd really like to see Paul squirm down there today. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to you. He doesn't do that to me. He's way too loving, too gracious for that. But it's purposeful. So whatever it is that has come into your life in the last little while, God has a purpose in it. Isn't that beautiful? You know, if you're without Christ, it's just junk. It just stinks. And if you're a Christian not walking with God, it's the same. Because I don't believe God's going to let up until you turn. So Paul's saying, you know, there was a purpose to this. And it was beautiful. It was glorious. But I want you to know it was painful. He says that. Do you see that in verse 7? This is a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. It was demonic. It was delivered by Satan, or I believe by one of his demons, to the apostle. And it was to keep him from exalting himself. It was painful. Thorn in the flesh, that word, it refers to something very pointed or sharp, such as a thorn or a wooden stake. When I was downstate, we had thorn apple trees. I don't even know if they're up here. Are thorn apple trees, do they grow up here? Yeah, I got some saying no, but I got a guy over here that knows outdoors. So, but we had a lot of them down there, and they had these long thorns on them. And one day I got stuck with one of them, and I still remember, very painful in the side of the head. Not a good place. That's the idea here. It's a thorn. It hurts. You remember our Lord. Whenever I read thorn in the Scripture, when I think of a thorn, I think of our Lord on the cross. With a crown of thorns. Paul's saying it hurt. We can only guess what this thorn was. There's speculation as to what it was. Many believe it was an eye issue. Some think of it as migraine headaches. We're not really sure. An intestinal disorder. Some have thought that. Maybe a speech impediment that the Apostle Paul had. Whatever it was, those believers in Corinth, when Paul writes this, they know. He doesn't have to explain it to them. They'll all know, yeah, that's yeah, he's got that thorn in the flesh. And you see, it was painful. He says, it was there to torment me. This is something that was a daily reality for the apostle. And I'm sure in his own mind he's thinking, Lord, you know, if I didn't have this, man, I could really do things for you. How many of you ever thought that? Yeah, if I didn't have, well, what? But the God who orders our lives has a few years more experience than us, doesn't he? He knows what's best. And the Apostle Paul could trust him. It was purposeful, it was painful, and it was from Satan. Do you see that? This great, great saint of old, he says, this was from Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. It was from Satan. But you know who allowed it? God did. And you know, Satan's too proud to understand that when God gives him permission to afflict one of his servants, that there's good going to result from this. Job, case in point, right? And how many unnamed Christians over the years have suffered greatly and the Lord has used tremendously in our lives? Johnny Erickson Tata, how many of you know her? Fanny Crosby. Oh, old hymn writer of old, blind from birth. Well, she had a few days, blind from birth, wrote hymn after hymn after hymn. But it was from Satan. And I want you to remember this. Satan, here it is. Listen, Satan is the servant of God. Do you know that? He is. He's on a short leash. He is the prince of the power of the air right now. He's having his fun on earth, but that's all under God's control. And he's so proud that opposing God's work is what he desires to do, and to torment, to kill God's people is in his heart. And he can't help but be used of God for the glory of God and the good of God's people. God's purposes here were good. They were good. You know, the apostle could never be the man that God desired him to be if it wasn't for God allowing this in his life. This ought to, for all of us, help us in the middle of some difficult situations in our lives. As awesome and wonderful as God is, he also cares deeply for us. As Paul mentions what this thorn was, we're not sure, but he could have become full of pride to keep from exalting myself, he says. And I just love Paul's honesty here. So he's saying, you know what, there's this thorn in my flesh. I want you to know that. And we're going to find out that he became content with this. Amazing where God took him with this. Because he really surrendered. He really bent his knee to God's will and experienced that enabling grace to live his life out. But so here's this thorn in the flesh. So you got something like this, so what are you going to do? Paul says, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. Notice the next verse. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. The request is made here. And he's saying it was multiple times. Three times Paul got alone. I believe there were specific times where Paul got alone with God and pleaded that this might be taken away, that God might give relief. Remember, this is something that's daily. It's tormenting him. It's painful. It's a thorn. It's there. I believe he's talking about three different occasions that his mind was set on this one thing and he cried out to God specifically about this issue. We don't have his prayer here. We don't have that. We can only imagine the words, the fervency in which he cried out to God. Paul wanted relief. He needed relief from this tormenting thing. So he did what he needed to do. He did the right thing, did he not, brothers and sisters? He took it to God. He believed God would answer. He believed God could help. Lord Jesus has had an amazing prayer life. And if one studies him, it just stands out. You'll see him often before the Father, alone, early in the morning. And Jesus was telling a parable, and Luke wraps this parable up in Luke 18. It's helpful to us. Now he, that is Jesus, was telling them a parable to show that, here's the reason Jesus was telling this parable, that all times that men should always pray and not to lose heart or give up. We are to be those people that pray, that intercede. You know, prayer, one thing prayer does is it helps us to realize our need for God. It does. If we're not praying, we're not walking the Christian life in the light that we ought to be doing. We're not saying we're dependent on you at all. God, we got it. And last time I got it, wasn't good. It never is. You don't want to run your own path, God will let you go a ways. It's not good. We're told to pray without ceasing. Be in a spirit of prayer always. And his request, that it's here, isn't it? That it might leave me. We do know that in prayer Paul requested this. He wanted relief. I'm sure he was thinking about, man, my ministry for Christ could be so much greater. I could do so much more if God would answer his prayer. And Paul wanted it answered in a specific way. But I want you to know something. Had God answered this prayer for the apostle as the apostle wanted it answered, he would have missed out on tremendous blessing. Praise God, he knows best in these situations. But it would have cost the apostle a lot. So he goes on to get, he talks about the answer here. The answer's given. Verse 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. If you don't have this verse underlined in your Bible, if you've not noted it somewhere, someplace, don't miss this. This is powerful. Because if you think about the circumstance now that Paul finds himself in, he wants relief from it. And the Lord said, Paul, here's your relief. I'm going to show myself and prove myself strong through your weakness. I want you to know, Jesus said, you know, he taught the disciples to pray. One thing he said, he taught them to pray, pray for our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. You remember that? This is the daily bread. It is the grace that our Lord provides. What is grace? Well, the Lord said to Paul, my grace, my help, my power toward you. That's what grace is. It's undeserved. But it is that strength that is available to us through Christ. You may remember the nation of Israel. I'll do a little history here to help bring this, I think, into our hearts. The nation of Israel, they had been released by Pharaoh. They had cried out to God. They'd been released by Pharaoh after those 10 plagues in Egypt and 400 years of captivity. And they were led by Moses, and they're heading out of Egypt, and they come to a wall of a problem, a sea. And they have to pass through that sea or get around it. They can't go around it. And on their heels is a man with a change of heart, Pharaoh. And they can see the dust rolling up from the armies as they come, the chariots and so forth. And they cry out to God, and God hears their voice, and the whole of their story of the grace that is given to them is in Exodus 14, 13. Just a recap here, just a synopsis. This one verse really gets it for us. Moses said to the people, do not fear. stand and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. Stand and see. God is going to provide. His grace is going to flow. And we know the rest of the story, right? It's exactly what happened. God provided a miraculous deliverance for them. But that's grace. That was undeserved. You know what these people were praying before this? Yeah, we want relief, but did we come out here just to be buried in the wilderness? God delivered them. Jesus Christ provides for us a wellspring of grace. John speaks of that. For all his fullness, that's Christ, we have all received, and grace upon grace. It's interesting to me to watch you guys. You might say from the pulpit. No, I mean your lives. It's interesting to me to see how you will come to a hard spot. I've been there. I experienced them as well. It's, you know, I get to see in you guys my life at times. But I'll see where there's a situation, and I'll tell you, it is hard. It is difficult. It's no fun. It's painful. And they're wondering, this person, and I'm wondering, how is this going to work out? And you know what we see time and again? It's the grace of our Lord in your lives, in other people's lives. We stand back and we're just amazed. We're just amazed. That's a daily provision of our Lord Jesus Christ, his empowerment into our lives, his help, his energy, his strength. This is Christ in us, living out in us, being lived out in us in such a way as to bring help. That's what this is. Paul says, or John says, grace upon grace upon grace. There's grace to be saved. And then there's this enormous wellspring of grace for my life and your life until the Lord takes us home. And you know what, friends? We have to believe this. You may know this, but you also must believe that it's true. Because you can fight it on your own. You can do your own thing. And you can be miserable. And you can be worried. And you can be fretful. And you can say, this is too big. You can say all those things. But here is what God provides. The help you need to get through. It's grace upon grace upon grace. Our Lord Jesus Christ is strong enough for the most difficult thorns we will ever experience. This grace is a wellspring of help, of hope. When I lived downstate, there was a place the individual lived on, a 40-acre parcel. We called it the Floating 40 because there were springs all over on this place. The springs were so powerful, so clear, so cool. You could raise trout in the ponds. That's how clear it was. But there was what we call a flowing well there. It was a pipe driven down into a spring, and you know, it never stopped. It never stopped. When it was cold out, when it was hot out, it just flowed and flowed and flowed. And I want you to know, that's what our Lord has for us. It's always there, always available, and always enough. It is. And there are times we cry out and say, Lord, this is too big. And sometimes we believe one of the worst phrases in Christianity, the Lord will never give you more than you can handle. That is like one of the worst phrases. Whoever came up with that, they're dead wrong. They're just dead wrong. This was bigger than Paul could handle. I want you to know that. And there'll be stuff that comes in your life that's bigger than you can handle. And if you think, well, that saying, the Lord will never give me more than I can handle, you'll be wrong. And you'll be disappointed. And when you get before God and finally say, it's more than I can take, more than I can do, he'll say, my grace is sufficient. It's enough. My power is perfected in weakness, and it's going to flow through you. That's what Paul experienced. The answer is given. You know, we know God answers prayer in this way. Let's just rehearse it a minute. Sometimes he says what? Yes. And we're like, yes. How many of you ever prayed a prayer you're glad God said no to, though? I got some of them. Especially when I was younger. Lord, and the Lord says, no. And so sometimes he says yes, and boy, we're all over that, right? Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says wait. But when he says no, I believe there's always something like this. No, Paul, I got something better. I got something better. That's so true. The answer's given. And I want you to know that the contentment here is realized. Look, he says, I'm ahead of myself. I got to back up. But my power is enough. Christ's power is perfected in weakness. They needed that. These Corinthians did. And Paul thinks about life, and he thinks about bodies, and he thinks about, you know, how fast we age and how these bodies are just what they are. They're not anything without the Lord. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, Paul said, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. You know, he allows things to come in our lives so that others can see it and they can say, glory to God, because in spite of that individual, God's working powerfully through them. In spite of their limitations, he's working powerfully through them. Dear brother in Christ went to be with the Lord a couple days ago. 40 years of ministry. 40 years of ministry. 30 of those years, he was a very sickly man. Very sickly man. Struggled with health issue after health issue after health issue. And you know what? In the middle of that, his congregation watched someone empowered by the grace of God for the glory of God. It was last week. He was actually, he'd stepped out of the ministry. The pastorate was too much. He went to a Bible institute, taught for 6 months. That was always his dream. In the middle of that, got pancreatic cancer on top of everything. I don't remember if he had a liver transplant before that. Just issue after issue after issue. But with pancreatic cancer, he could no longer teach at the Bible Institute, so moved from out west to Indiana, and from his desk, Skyped with the in the pastoral theology class to those young guys who he needed to minister to, did that up to last, like, 3 days before the Lord took him home. Sufficient grace. That's what that was. Power perfected in weakness. And I have to tell you that this man was beautiful. He was all about love and grace toward others, and I believe in part because of what God did in his life. And we don't want to waste our pain, right? How many of you want to say, I'd rather do that again? No, don't waste it. Rely on the Lord. Let him teach you what he wants to teach you. My power is enough. That's what Jesus said to him. It's enough. It's enough. You see this contentment realized in verse 10. Therefore, by the way, let's back up just a little. He said to man, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. That's the truth. And then I want you to see the attitude of the apostle. Most grudgingly, therefore, no. Most gladly, therefore. Do you see what the apostle has done here? He's bent his will to the Lord. And not my will, but yours be done. He's bent that to the Lord. He's just saying, okay, I got the answer. Remember when Jesus got the answer from Gethsemane? Remember what he did? Not my will, but yours be done. Then he went. He went on to the cross. Here Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I'll rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Whatever this was, he could tell the church at Corinth, can you believe it? I mean, here I am. I got this thorn. This thing is awful, but do you see what God is doing? There's hope for you. There's hope for me. I'll boast about that, Paul says. If you want to boast, I'll boast about this. There's real boasting. What the Lord has done. Therefore, so there's these keys, right? Most gladly, therefore, in verse 9, and then verse 10, therefore, I'm what? Well content. I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. This contentment was realized in spite of pain, in spite of this thorn. You know, we are so often mistaken to think that if I could adjust my situation, right, I would be content. If I could just get the respect from my spouse that I deserve, I'd be content then. Lord, if you could just do that. Or if my job would if I just had a job that paid better, then I would realize contentedness. Or if I could get a specific threshold of earnings, then I would be content. If I didn't have to worry so much about so many things. If I could find the right person to marry. Or if my children only... And we can go and go and go. But you know what? Real contentment has little to do with circumstances. So very little. It just doesn't. But real contentment has everything to do with acceptance to what God brings into our lives. That's where it's at. In that place, there is victory. Paul said, I am well content. He stepped into a victorious spot to live. And there's surrender there. I just want you to know it. There's surrender to the will of God in his life. And Paul said, I can trust him. It's okay. He's in a place to be used like never before. His heart is at peace. Thanksgiving can rule his mind. He's okay with life. He's okay with what God has brought. There's peace there. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. He spoke of it in Philippians 4. And he talked about, instead of being anxious to pray, and here's this promise, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In this past week, I talked to someone who'd gone through a difficult surgery. As a matter of fact, in the past couple weeks, it goes back. And they talked about being a little anxious before the surgery, and then they talked about the peace that they had as they approached it. And this individual relayed to me that he got to the point where he said, it's okay. Whatever God brings, whatever he wants to do, I'm okay with it. I'm well content. And you know, with that contentedness comes a great peace. And he talked to me about this peace as he went through the surgery. And I said, that's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Makes no sense. But as Christians, we realize when we get to that place, we can have this. It can be ours. And I'll be honest with you. When he says in verse 10, I'm well content with weakness and insults, there are times that I am very well content with whatever someone might say to me, whatever would happen. There have been times in my life, in the last year especially, that I've gotten there. But I have to tell you, I'm not always there. There are days when I think, you know, I know better than God. There are days I think I can order the world around me and the people around me and my life better than God, and I'm not very content. But this is where we need to get. It's in spite of pain. You know, we can't order our lives, and to think we're wise enough to know better than God is just foolish. It's in spite of pain. But listen, here's the key. It's for his name's sake. Paul says, I'm well content with weaknesses, with insults. How many of you are well content with insults? I think we can be, for the Lord's sake. With distresses, with persecutions, with difficulty, for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. See, for Christ's sake is really the key. That Paul loved Jesus, it was unquestionable. The struggle in his own mind was, why would God allow him to continue to experience the specific thorn in the flesh? And he gets his answer. And in that answer, what a blessing that God provided for him. And it was a blessing when he got his mind wrapped around it, he understood it. But it's for the glory of the Lord. When it's for the glory of the Lord, we can be content with being insulted. We can be content with anything. Friends, do you realize the freedom? Listen to me. The freedom that the Apostle Paul is now experiencing at this point in his life. When he says, when he hears from the Lord, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Paul goes on to say, okay, I got that. He's big enough. He's got it. He's going to empower me to live. And then he says, I'm well content. He's come to a place of great freedom. There's great freedom for him there. There's satisfaction. The apostle is experiencing that. Those insults, those difficulties, those persecutions, those distresses were his for the sake of his master. And it's when it's for the sake of Christ, the power for evil, the power to impact us in a negative way, it's diminished because it's for the Lord. The Lord here, we need to remember, we are serving him. And when we serve him, difficult things come. But the well-content is connected to the for Christ's sake. There's a connection there. You cannot have one without the other. Are you content, my brother, my sister? Are you bending your knee to God and what he's brought in your life? Or are you fighting against it? If you're fighting against it, you're fighting a fight you'll never win. I want you to go away here today believing that his grace is sufficient. Believing that whatever he brings, he enables us to get through. Believing that sometimes when he says no, it's okay. He's got something better. I want you to believe that. Let's wrap this up. The key to contentment in painful circumstances is trusting that he is enough and that his grace is sufficient. I want you to believe it. Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you for this scripture that really pries at our hearts and our pride. Father, often we just think, well, if we were just here or in our lives, or if this wasn't going on, or if I could relieve myself of this, or, and then we go and go and go, and we battle against you, and we fight against what you've brought, and you're still waiting there to give sufficient grace when we will bend our hearts to you. Father, I don't know where your people are this morning. I know where I'm at. Sometimes I'm there. At other times, I get too wrapped up in circumstances and self to have that at all. I pray we would get there. I pray your people, as they go today, would just find themselves in great freedom, in great empowerment, under what you have brought into their lives. Because we realize you bring these things for our good, that we might become mature, that we might be a comfort to others, a help to others. We might be used of you to our greatest potential. Help us, Father. Help us to get there. Help us to surrender. Help us to believe in that sufficient grace. Help us to rest in that place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd ask you to allow me to get to the back.